This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're going to leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing so many Dickersons in my head.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And Chris Ello.
I'll tell you why you do not want to hesitate to put Patrick Holmes in your lineup, because I am playing against him.
Well, I don't know who Patrick Holmes is, so.
All right, next story.
Give me another non-story there, Slugger.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Hour number two, high school Friday football. Huge game tonight. Cathedral Catholic hosting Carlsbad in the Open Division semifinals. We will carry the game right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. Up until then, it's Chris Ello here, Tony Gwynn Jr. right over there. We get along a whole lot better than Miles Garrett and Mason Rudolph do. We did talk about in the opening hour of the show. We'll probably get back into that a little bit later on. Also back to that Astro stuff. But right now it is time for our college football pick'em segment with the lovely, talented, and intelligent Skyler. How are you, Skyler?
Oh, here we go.
You pick college football winners better than most.
To the end zone. Touchdown!
Willing to put your name on it.
He's gonna go in, touchdown!
Gwen and Chris want you to take on our sales assistant in college football pick'em. On 97.3 The Fan.
I know we got Skyler, but before we get to her, we got to get a contestant. So pick up the phone, dial in right now if you want a chance to compete in our college football pick'em segment. The phone number to call in, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Call in right now if you want to pick five college football games against Skyler. Skyler, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for my lovely introduction.
Yes, well, you are lovely, so we have to give you a lovely introduction. That's
why. Well, thank you.
Before we get to the picks and everything, you're Alabama Crimson Tide lost a home game for the first time in your career.
Yes, we did. We did.
Last week, you went down to the game in Tuscaloosa. First of all, that's amazing that you get to go down and see your alma mater's Alabama and you get to go see them play football. But how fun was it still to be at that game?
You know, it's crazy. Despite us losing, it was still honestly one of the most fun games that I've ever been to. So I can't say that I regret being there at all.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Those Alabama fans, I mean, I don't think any of us really know. I've only been to one SEC football game in my lifetime, and that was because our boss, Bob Bollinger, took me to Knoxville to see Tennessee play Florida one time. But if you have never experienced an SEC football game out there, I mean, it should be on the bucket list if
Definitely.
You're a sports fan. It really should. I mean, either
it's on mine.
Yeah, either go to Alabama or go to LSU or go to even to Auburn or to Mississippi. It doesn't matter, right, Skyler? They're all amazing.
No, it doesn't matter. Regardless of even if they're on a winning streak or a losing streak, it's still so much fun. Everyone really backs their college teams out there. I think that's why it makes it so fun to be there.
How about when they lost the game the other night, though? Was it like a morgue walking out of there? Was it kind of quieter than normal? Because you'd never been to an Alabama game, you told me, that they ever lost before.
Well, I had been to an Alabama game that we had lost, just not at home. That was a little bit different.
Yeah.
But
were there some salty folks in the stands?
It wasn't too bad. I will honestly say the LSU fans were very gracious winners, and I think that helped a lot.
Yes,
very, very classy. So being there and being around that really, really was great.
I know why Alabama lost, because Skylar has been picking Auburn all year, and she's been war eagling everywhere.
Scravy somehow believes I'm the curse.
They found out about it, and they couldn't deal with it.
Yeah,
she's a secret Auburn fan.
She's a secret closet Auburn fan. Well, we're going to find out, because Auburn is one of our five games today on our pick'em contest for this week in college football. Do we have our contestant yet?
Sean from Lakeside.
Sean from Lakeside. All right, Sean. Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Sean, we're picking against the spread. Five games. Whoever does, if you beat Skylar, then you're going to win four tickets to the Ultrastar Cinemas movie passes. So best of luck to you, Sean. And the first game on the board is tonight, actually. Fresno State at San Diego State. San Diego State's favored by 1 point is all. So go ahead, Sean. You picking the Aztecs tonight at home with a 1 point spread, or are you going with Fresno State?
I'm going to take San Diego State.
Going to take San Diego State. Give 1 point. The Aztecs, you know, always scare me a little bit at home. Like, they're great on the road.
Right?
But you know why? Because they don't have the great atmosphere at San Diego State.
We are basically
yet.
Playing road games all year
almost,
long.
You're almost playing road all year long. All right, Skylar, what do you think? San Diego State or Fresno State?
Well, just to clear something up, the Aztecs scare me every week, not just at home.
You ain't right, Skylar.
I think they've got a lot to prove this week, though. They should have won last week. They were 16.5 point favorite. They're coming off of a loss. They dropped out of the rankings because of that loss. So I think these guys are going to be really fired up. I think everything's going to fall into place for them. So I definitely think they're going to win. Despite them being at home, I really feel like they're going to come out looking strong this week. So I think that they've got to cover this 1 point spread.
They just got to cover 1 point.
That's all they need.
Skyler's going with Fresno. Or both Skyler and Sean are going with San Diego State.
Yes.
All right, second game on the board, Sean. Michigan State, which is a very good team but only has a record of 4-5, is going into the Big House to take on 14th-ranked Michigan. Michigan at home is a 13.5 point favorite. So do you like the Wolverines given that many points, or do you like Sparty?
Well, my girlfriend's going to kill me. She is a Michigan State alum, but I'm going to have to take Michigan.
Oh, my goodness. Going against the girlfriend.
Wow.
That's a risky move,
Sean.
That is
the opposite of happy life. Happy wife, happy
life. Yeah, Sean.
Or happy girlfriend, happy life, I should say.
I'm going to give you the directions to Scraby's couch. You may need them. All right, he's picking Michigan minus 13.5 points. So not only does he have to root against his girlfriend's alma mater, but he has to hope they get crushed by two touchdowns. All right, Skylar, what do you think? Michigan State and Michigan.
I think I have to make Sean's girlfriend mad as well.
Really?
Michigan State, like you said, they're a decent team, but they're on a losing streak right now, and I don't think that you can be on a losing streak heading into a big game against Michigan. And as opposed to Michigan State, Michigan kind of had a rockier start, but I think they've really fallen into the groove of things. I think that's going to continue into this week. I think they'll probably gain a lead pretty early on in the game, and they'll just maintain that lead and continue to gain a lead throughout the whole game. I definitely have them winning by at least two touchdowns, probably more.
All right. Well, one thing I can say for both of you is that if Jim Harbaugh does get a two-touchdown lead, he will not sit on it. He will try to pile on.
Absolutely.
That's the way Jim Harbaugh does things.
Absolutely.
All right. Next game up, Wake Forest. Now, don't sleep on Wake Forest, you guys. They're 7-2. They're having a good year. They're taking on number 3 Clemson, the defending national champions. Clemson is favored by 33 points. Can I entice either of you to take Wake Forest in this game? Sean, you are up first.
It's at Clemson, correct?
It is at Clemson, yes.
I'm going to have to go with Clemson.
He's still going with Clemson. 33 points be damned.
You couldn't entice him enough.
Couldn't entice him. What about Skyler? Can we entice you to take Wake Forest? 7-2, Skyler.
Absolutely. I am enticed. I think Clemson, it's no-brainer they're going to win, but by 33 points, that's a big question mark for me. I do not believe that they can win this game by 33 points. I will not let Clemson fans forget that they almost lost to an unranked North Carolina. I will continue to bring that up, and I definitely believe Wake Forest can hold their own and keep Clemson from covering that great of a spread.
All right, so we have a little change of opinion there. All right, good. Sean, you got Clemson, and Skyler's got Wake Forest in that game. All right, this is a great game right here. Number 5, Georgia, going at number 13, Auburn. So Auburn gets the home game, but Georgia is favored by 3 points. Sean, what do you think here?
I think Georgia has a lot to prove, just getting into the top 4 recently, so I'm going to take Georgia.
Going to take Georgia on the road and give 3 points. Always difficult to cover spreads in the SEC on the road, but we'll see what happens here. Auburn, Skyler, they have been good to you all year long, the Auburn Tigers. Your nemesis is a Alabama student. What are you doing in this game?
Well, I think I'm going to have to egg Scravy on even more because I'm going with Auburn again this week. I've yet to go against them. It's wow. It's giving Scravy a laugh every single week. But
well, yeah, because you're an Auburn fan.
You know, for my own sake, I really need Auburn to win this game. So if that's what it takes, I'm rooting Auburn this weekend.
That's right. If Auburn wins, it would be helpful to Alabama.
Yes, it would.
Keep that in mind.
Yep. So I'm going Auburn all the way.
All right, so that's what Skyler's thinking there. All right, so you guys disagree on 2 games. And the last game of the day, this is really a good game also. Number 10, Oklahoma, which is 8-1, goes on the road to take on number 12, Baylor. Baylor is 9-0. They're one of only 5 undefeated teams in the nation. Yet, Oklahoma is favored by 10 points. Sean, what do you like here in this game? Oklahoma at Baylor.
I'm going to make my last pick and hang up, guys. I got to go, but I'm going to take Baylor.
All right. Make sure we got your phone number in case you win, Sean. We'll get back to you Monday, and we'll get you those movie tickets. Thanks for playing. He's taking Baylor plus the 10 points. Skyler, it is all left up to you.
Well, like you said, this is a huge game in my opinion. I think it's probably the biggest game of the weekend, especially, of course, in the Big 12. Baylor is one of the few teams that's left undefeated. But Oklahoma, they've got some serious talent behind them this year. And they're led by Jalen Hurts, who's very good in under-pressure situations. I think he's going to be able to go into Baylor in this away game where they're undefeated, and I think he's going to be able to really take control of the game and give Baylor kind of a sense that they haven't a lack of control that they really haven't had this season. I think it's really going to put them in for a shock, and I definitely think Oklahoma's going to cover this weekend.
All right, so there you go. That's our college football pick'em segment. Skyler versus Sean, they agree on San Diego State, they agree on Michigan, but the other 3 games disagree. Skyler's going with Wake Forest taking the 33 points. Skyler is going with Auburn taking the 3 points. And Skyler is going with Oklahoma giving the 10 points. Sean is on the other side of those games. We'll see who wins on Monday. Skyler, have a really good weekend.
Thank you, Skyler.
Thanks,
Skyler. Great job,
weekend.
As always.
Thank you.
There she is, our great friend Skyler and our college football picks. By the way, if you're wondering, through 9 weeks of picking games this year, Skyler has won 5, and the contestants have won 4. So it's been a pretty...
She's over 500.
She's over 500, but it's been a pretty good contest all the way around. We'll see how it turns out this week. We'll take a quick break, quick timeout, step aside from Cathedral Catholic High School, and get back to our high school Friday football program. The two coaches of the two teams are coming up, and a whole lot more with Chris Sello and Tony Gwynn Jr. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Michael McCare, you are our biggest fan. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. Congratulations. You have won tickets to 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night at SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. You'll also be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner at Las Vegas Oscars Steakhouse, and two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up if you want to participate at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. All right.
And you should all be participating, by the way. If you are listening to the program, there's no reason you shouldn't be signed up so that your name has a chance to be called.
Get you some prizes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Just got to sit there.
As this Astro story evolves.
Unfolds.
Because it started with the Astros in 2017. Now we're up to the Astros in 2018 and 2019. Plus, there's allegations of other teams doing the same exact thing. But Bob Nightingale, who does a terrific job for USA Today, wrote an article today. And he happens to be in the place where you can get all kinds of good quotes if you're a writer. And he's at the GM meetings. And, of course, all 29 GMs, as I like to say, are feeling some type of way about these Astros and have been feeling this way for a while. They just didn't have any proof.
They didn't have anywhere to say anything about it.
Right.
But now the door has been Pandora's box has been opened, as it were.
As I said, Nightingale is out in I'm not sure where the GM meetings are at, but he's there with them. And he's got some pretty strong quotes from a lot of the GMs there. Some of them remain nameless. They've been cheating. They still are cheating. And it's time MLB puts a stop to it. One National League GM said, come on, they won 60 games at home this year. Look at the numbers when guys are on base. And MLB best, .282 average.
.282? You're not supposed to hit that good with runners on base.
Since 2017. This is a three-year stretch they've been doing.
For 3 years they've hit .282?
The banging of the garbage cans and pipes. The whistling, everything. It's one thing to steal signs with your eyes. We all do that. It's another thing to do it electronically, and that's why that's what they've been doing. This tarnishes everything they've done. There should be a huge asterisk next to the World Series title.
Houston asterisks. That's what I call them.
The Dodgers, who kind of put their antennas up after they lost, and Yu Darvish couldn't get out of an inning and two-thirds in Game 3 and Game 7. Remember, Yu Darvish himself said that he was tipping. So what the Dodgers have done, they've gone back and looked at those two games, and they say you can't find anything that would be giving the other team a heads up of what's coming. And it's
unless they were out finding it themselves. But weren't those games played at Dodger Stadium? Game 7 was, I'm pretty sure.
Game 7 was, but yeah. game 3 was not.
So if they were doing their system, I can see it in Game 3, but in Game 7 they would have had to hide somebody at Dodger Stadium.
That would go for their successes this year or unsuccessfulness at home in the World Series this year. I mean, they lost all their games at home. Won all their games on the road. So
yeah, except the last one.
Except for the last one.
Right.
So, I mean, ultimately, this story, as I told you guys when it first broke, is going to have legs. It's going to have huge ramifications at some point. I want to get to the phone lines. We got Joey on the line. Joey in Lakeside, welcome to Gwynn and Chris. What's on your mind as it pertains to this particular subject?
Dude, how bad is this? Like, it's crazy to me. Like, it taints the entire integrity of the game at this point. Like, you ban Pete Rose for life for gambling on games he didn't even play in. And, like, these guys are probably not going to get banned for life, but I think maybe they should. I mean, Hinch, dude, he's a rat. Dude, he's a rat. That's so bad of him to do. And, like, everything makes it worse. Like, you just said they lost all their games at home or on the road this year. It's one thing when you get, like, Willie Mays would have this other team signed. He'd get a single. By the time he gets back in the dugout, he'd have team signs with his eyes. But you got a black ops covert dude filming signs from the catchers, relaying them to the dugout. And they're Brett Gardnering, banging on the wall to let them know it's a freaking curveball. Like, it's so bad. I would have rather had the worst team in my opinion, the Dodgers. I hate the Dodgers. I would have rather have them won the World Series clean than have the Astros. And the Astros in 2017, they're doing it for their city. They just got ravaged by a hurricane. Ugh. They're tainting their whole community, their talent they got on their team. They're tainting the whole integrity of baseball. It's so bad, dude. It's
Joe,
so
you bring
bad.
Up a terrific point. We haven't even talked. We haven't even touched the surface of what the Houston fan base is going to feel. Should this turn out to be true? I will say, however, Joey, thanks for the phone call. That when I have a belief that when MLB comes down, they're going to come down hard. They're going to come down really hard because Joey's right. This is the integrity of the game that we're talking about, which is the one thing in every league that they are the most protective over.
They have to be the most protective
of. If there's something that they're more protective over than the dollar, it's the integrity of the game, because without that, they can't make those
dollars. They don't even have a game.
Right.
No, I agree. You know, I said the other day, Tony, when we first started talking about it, I am to the point where I am willing to mete out any punishment, fine-wise, suspension-wise, asterisk-wise, all the way up to removing the Astros as world champions in 2017. Now, that doesn't mean that baseball wouldn't think of doing that. I mean, look, in 1994, we all know what happened. There was no World Series.
That's right.
And guess what? Baseball struggled along for a few years, but it got back on its feet, and the world continued. And as it stands to this day, there is no champion in 1994. So, even though it was because of a strike, there is a precedent set for having a year with no baseball champion. And they could even go as far, if they really get all of this stuff, everything that's come out so far is confirmed, and we find out some more stuff, and you start getting into the stuff that Cody Decker was talking about, the algorithms and all of that, they prove all this stuff, you could have 2017 World Series champion
vacated.
Be nobody.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I'm going to read a few more lines from this Bob Nightingale story on USA Today. This was from one of the executives who looked at the tape of Darvish in that Astros game. He said they would do it in different ways. One executive said if they weren't banging on the pipes, they would disguise it by yelling out from the dugout. If they called your first name, it was a fastball. If they called your last name, it was a breaking ball. Now, as I was telling these guys off air, that's not so much the issue, right? Because that is how signs are relayed without using the technology. The issue is the technology, because you're not getting the signs in that fast. Remember, usually there needs to be a man on base to even start to kind of figure out what the signs are. This is going on with no one on base, no outs a lot of times, and they're somehow relaying the signs in a quick enough pace. If you're doing it with your eyes, there's just not enough time to get the sign. And by the time the pitcher is coming set, the ball's already getting ready to come. You don't have time.
I remember way back when, Tony, when a guy would be on second base, if he could see the end of the sign and he saw a fastball, he'd take his arm and just stick it out so that the hitter could see past the pitcher, and that arm signal meant something. And then it was so obvious what they were doing that they kind of stopped doing that, because it was, you know, we want to be a little more devilish in our sign stealing than that. But yeah, I mean, the sign stealing's there. Nobody seems to have a problem with that. The technology, everybody has a problem with that, and they should.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to step away, pay some bills. When we return, Scraby has his big five.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Strap in, ladies and gentlemen. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
What? Are we back?
Chris, for the first time ever, is a millennial and was on his phone.
I was forwarding a message to my wife. I apologize for that. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Here come the Cathedral Catholic Dons getting set for tonight's high school playoff game against, I got to say, rival Carlsbad, just because they play them every year in the playoffs.
I feel like we've been here every year.
Yeah. So it should be a great game tonight. Coming up at 7 o'clock right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Right now, though, you get yourself some Gwen and Chris until 7 o'clock, and you hit the best part of the show right now. It is when Scraby takes over the world, and it's the Big Five.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
So, you guys were talking about how we always see Carlsbad. We've seen him twice this year, so when I texted Coach Thad McNeil this morning, I said, hey, Coach, I feel like we're friends now.
And he said, no, I'm not friends with you.
No, he was very excited about it. As always, if you have any Big Five topics, find me on Twitter, at Matt Scraby.
Scraby! M-A-T-T. Please follow Matt Scraby, because it really makes him happy.
Scraby!
It does. It's one of those things.
I hadn't heard that in a long time, Thomas.
I haven't heard
the
old Scraby thing
in a while.
Thank you
for
playing
it. Yeah.
You need to play it more often.
I shouldn't have eaten those ghost pepper peanuts. Sorry.
No. You what? Those are causing you havoc now?
Yeah, it's stuck in my throat.
Oh, man. No.
Okay, we're good. One of the most...
Somebody get the fire hose out.
I'm so sweaty over here.
Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. Well, with Myles Garrett and the whole thing that happened last night, there's going to be a couple questions here about that. And
okay.
One of the most vocal media members out there who was not happy with what Myles Garrett did was ESPN's Adam Schefter. This is what Adam Schefter had to say about the incident on ESPN.
People will always remember Myles Garrett as the guy that could have killed a football player on a football field by taking his helmet and swinging it like a weapon, like a jackhammer, like a sledgehammer. And that is something that he's going to have to overcome over years. And if he leads the Browns to Super Bowl titles, it won't erase this night. It will always be a part of his resume from this moment on going forward. And the NFL will tack onto it today by handing down what we imagine to be the stiffest suspension in NFL history.
Well, they did suspend Myles Garrett indefinitely without pay, so they didn't actually give him a game, but he's probably not going to play the rest of the season.
They gave him a...
They didn't give him a game limit.
They haven't named the number of games.
So it could even extend into next year.
Absolutely.
And Adam Schefter, last night, he was fired up about this. He tweeted out one word after the whole thing. He said, assault. Which, when you're a reporter that is that big, I think there's a little bit of responsibility to not try to rile up the masses, you know what I mean? But that's not my question. Chris, is Adam Schefter overreacting?
Yes and no. I think based on what happened last night, I think you have to come down pretty strong on this. And I feel we came down strong on it ourselves on the show today. I disagree with Adam Schefter, though, when he says that Myles Garrett will have to live with this forever. And the reason I say that is because last night they went back through some of the crazy incidents in the NFL that were somewhat comparable, supposedly, to this. And they mentioned Albert Haynesworth. And I remember he got a 3-game suspension or something like
five,
that.
Five. Yeah.
Okay, whatever. And I saw that up on the board, Albert Haynesworth, 5 games, and I was like, oh, yeah, he did something, but I didn't even remember what he did.
Thank you.
Somebody had to point it out to me and remind me that he stepped on a guy after
without
a field
his helmet.
Goal.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was bad at the time, and I thought Albert Haynesworth was the worst dude in the history of pro sports. But you know what? Over time, this will all it's not going to be forgotten, but it's not like I don't – this is going to follow Myles Garrett around like the scarlet letter for the rest of his life. So I think Adam Schefter is overreacting in that regard.
I 100% agree with Chris's take. I don't think he's overreacting in from the standpoint of the suspension that was handed down and what should have happened, because that was before they actually came out with the,
yes,
the numbers.
That was this morning.
This morning. So I agree with Adam Schefter on that. I completely disagree with him. Do you guys remember when Ron Artest went in the stands and was punching people down?
Yeah.
Dudes running onto the court, be getting knocked out, basically. I remember watching that. I was in the Fall League. I was in Arizona. I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, I will never forget this for the rest of my life. No. And I haven't. But Ron Artest would later go on to win an NBA title as Metal War Peace with the Lakers. And yes, although that is brought up and it's not forgotten, it certainly didn't derail
his
career.
It doesn't define him.
No, because as long as he takes the correct steps from this point forward, this is a forgiving society. We all will forget. We won't forget, but we will forgive and not hold it over his
head. When Meta World Peace was out promoting his rap album, he happened to be in our building, and we were doing Ben Higgins and I were doing a show at the exact time he was in the building.
That's
at
random.
Another station. They brought him in to our studio to talk some basketball. And I was like, "Oh my God, there's Ron Artest."
Right.
And I was like, he's all right. You know? I mean, he didn't. Now, if we'd have come into the studio swinging, it would have been a little different story. But
just a little bit.
The point is he's just a guy who lost his
cool
one night. Yeah. And that's what happened to Myles Garrett last night. And it's bad, and it deserves to be punished, and it will be punished. And on we'll go.
I think, honestly, when it happened, everybody went to level 10.
I went to level 10.
Everybody did, including myself. I mean, everybody. But as you start to look at the situation for what it is and how we've seen similar situations throughout different sports, Juan Marichal took a bat out to the mound after getting hit by a pitch, hit somebody with it.
Hit John Roseboro right in the head.
He's still well-renowned as a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Fame pitcher.
Not that the guy who hit the other guy with the bat. So
right.
We will move forward, and hopefully Myles Garrett can make the necessary changes and get down.
Sounds
the rest
like
of
he's already on the right path.
Right.
You remember when during a hockey tryout, I think, Happy Gilmore took off his skate and tried to kill someone?
Yes, we all remember
We forgot about that.
Yes, but we never forgot about Bob Barker punching it out.
That's
with him.
True. The price is wrong.
Number four.
Thank you to Gustavo Valadez for following me on Twitter. Appreciate
all
that,
right, Gustavo.
Good looking out, Gustavo.
Former Browns coach and Steelers coach Todd Haley had some things to say about Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens. He criticized Kitchens for the Myles Garrett incident taking place. Haley told SiriusXM NFL Radio today that there was a total lack of self-control, and it must be placed upon Kitchens and his staff. He said, quote, "The Browns won the game, but it's kind of what's biting them in the backside throughout this year and throughout the last few years is just lack of self-control and discipline. This comes back to coaching. This falls squarely right on the head coach because the head coach talks to every assistant coach who then talks to their group of players. There's an old saying in coaching. You're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen." I didn't know that was a saying. Tony,
it's like
Todd made that
it's
up.
It's an old one. Yeah.
He's like, oh, let me feel smart here for a second. Tony, do you think Todd Haley is off base for saying this?
I actually don't.
Whoa.
Here's why. When you look at, just let's talk football for a sec. They're last in penalties accepted, last in penalty yardage, and I think they're last in another penalty category. Those are all coaching things. And this is a team that is the most penalized team in football. And that's aside from the Myles Garrett self-control issues. It's a discipline issue, right? I mean, this team is struggling in a lot of reasons other than the fact that Baker Mayfield is not playing good football. I think it falls squarely on the coach. Now, Todd Haley might have a little sour grapes because he probably wishes he was in this position.
Yeah, he's been fired so many times.
That being said,
well, he was the offensive coordinator for the Browns.
He was, yeah.
Before that whole Hugh Jackson thing came out.
And he tried to take
Jackson's job. It's important to remember that Freddie Kitchens, to no fault of his own, has gone from a position coach to an offensive coordinator to a head coach all in an 8-month span. There's guys who've been in the league forever who haven't had any of those jobs. So, although he may be qualified, it seems like he's a little bit behind the curve a little bit in terms of getting the players to settle in and be disciplined.
Chris, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, I can't disagree with what Tony said about the Browns being a team that obviously don't mind their P's and Q's. I mean, they knocked two Steelers out of the game with illegal hits prior to this whole situation happening. However, in the end here, I don't remember who Albert Haynesworth, as head coach, was the day that he stepped on some guy's head.
Good point.
That's a good question.
So was it Fisher?
It probably was Jeff Fisher.
Might have been. But, yeah, good one. But my point is, I don't think
you're right.
I can blame the coach for this. This was beyond anything I think any coach would ever.
He's not coaching this.
What was the What was the question?
Do you think Todd Haley is off base?
Yeah, so I think he is a little off base.
Yeah, I say that, too.
I do. But I think that the Browns are obviously have to, you know, they're the Raiders of the NFL right now in the way they play their game, and it's costing them.
All right, we're going to have to condense some of our answers, but let's go to number three.
Okay.
Number
is that your way of telling us we're taking too long?
No, that's just my way of looking at the clock and realizing how far behind we are. But that is not a problem. It's being reported that 24 NFL teams will be in attendance for Colin Kaepernick's workout in Atlanta tomorrow. We've talked about how weird the whole situation is with the circumstances behind the workout. They randomly decided to announce it, they wouldn't move it, and they picked the worst day for an NFL team to attend. But there are reports out saying the Steelers are very, very interested in signing Colin Kaepernick. Chris, do you think Colin Kaepernick will have a job in the NFL after this weekend?
I can answer that quickly. I think he's going to. I just have a weird feeling that when it's all said and done by the end of this weekend, somebody's going to sign Colin Kaepernick. That's just a prediction. I don't think that a team is going to be told to do it. Although I do agree with Brian Billick when he was on earlier and he said that every team in the league was probably told in one way or another to get somebody there
100%.
To watch him work out. But yes, I do think somebody's going to sign him. I would be surprised if he does not get signed at all. Like I said, there are some really, really bad quarterbacks in the NFL, and one of them happens to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now.
Mason Rudolph.
That's him.
Tony, do you think Colin Kaepernick will have a job in the NFL after this weekend?
After the weekend is over?
No, that's the one thing I'm worried about. If it
I don't know if it's
fast.
Going to be after the weekend, but I would expect that it's going to be soon. I just there's something about I read some articles today that kind of made me fall along this line. I know this is not normal for, you know, teams to be holding workouts on a weekend the day before their games, but there's something about the NFL. I also read today that this was something that NFL's been pushed to do, and they're going to push their teams to do it, as Brian Billick said. So the fact that they're going to this length and that there's this many teams actually going to attend, as long as he can show that he can still throw the football, and from everything I hear, he's in tremendous shape, I think he'll have a job. I just don't know if it's going to be by the end of the week.
I also think real quick that he has for a long time has been kind of like, don't touch. You know, it's bad publicity. But I think now that the NFL has done what it's done, it's given the teams the ability to go ahead and sign him without worrying about that hanging over their head.
100%.
All right. Number two.
Number two.
Hey, everyone. We have a Carmelo Anthony sighting. And
I
didn't know this, but Odd Thomas this morning hit me with a fact I didn't know about him. He is a big Melo fan. I had no idea.
Thomas is?
Thomas, why are you
so... I knew I liked you, Thomas.
Why are you such a big Melo fan?
I don't really know why. It just kind of happened when he took that Nuggets team. They lost to the Lakers in the conference finals. That I don't know. I just love that team with him on it. It was him, Birdman.
J.R. Smith.
I think Allen Iverson was on the team, too.
Wow.
In his past years. I don't know. Just something about him was great. I liked him at Syracuse, too.
Nah, you smoke pot rap. With him at Syracuse. That's why you like him.
Thomas, you've been to Syracuse smoking pot?
I've never
don't
been
answer to, that question.
Never been to New York.
He's never been to New York. Well, that floored me, so I wanted to bring that up. But the Portland Trailblazers are the team that signed Carmelo Anthony to a non-guaranteed deal. He's been linked to the Blazers in the rumor mill for years, but it never happened until now when Melo has been out of the league for a full year and the Blazers are sitting at 4-8. Tony, do you think that Melo will help them turn it around?
I don't know if he's going to help them turn it around, but They're 4-6 right now.
4-8.
4-8, excuse me.
Even
in the
worst.
In the Western Conference right now. They don't have time to keep losing games. With the top of that conference, I mean, the first 6-7 teams on that in the Western Conference are all playing pretty good basketball. They have to do something. Clearly, what they have right now, remember Nurkic, who is their center who broke his leg in the playoffs, is still out.
Oh, yeah.
So they had to do something, and Carmelo is a guy that you know can score. It's just a matter of how they get their points, and I think Portland might be a good fit for him. They play a lot of screen and rolls. They do a lot of ISO, which is right up Carmelo's alley.
And that's what he likes.
I think
it's the only thing he knows.
Yes, I think he could help this team. Yeah,
Chris,
I don't think he'll help them. I think Portland will get back in the hunt because they're too good of a team. I'm shocked that they're 4-8, but I mean they're the team that I honestly picked almost. I think I picked them actually to win the West. So they better get going, but I don't think Carmelo's going to help him too much. He's been out of the league too long, and even before he was out of the league, he wasn't playing all that well and doing that much. I mean, he might have a couple of 20-point games here and there, but if Portland gets it turned around, it's going to be because Lillard and McCollum and the rest of that team starts playing better.
All right, let's get to the last.
He may even get his first attempt at a revenge game against Houston, too.
He won't get to play in that game. He is not going to be suiting up for the game against Houston.
Oh, in your face, Thomas. Blah, 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 blah.
God, you act like a six-year-old sometimes.
In your face,
what
Thomas.
What did you just play, Thomas?
Blah, 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 blah.
Some experts are saying this year in the NFL is the year of the backup quarterback. Why? Because starting quarterbacks have been injured a lot this season. Currently starting, we have Kyle Allen of the Panthers, who's 5-2. We have Mason Rudolph of the Steelers, who's 4-3. We have Brandon Allen of the Broncos, who's 1-0. And then other guys who started parts of the season, Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0 for the Saints. Gardner Minshew went 4-4 for the Jaguars. And Matt Moore went 1-1 for the Chiefs. That's a 20-10 mark for those backups. Chris, do you think this is the deepest the NFL has ever been at backup quarterback?
No, I think
I knew this was gonna. I knew that was gonna be the reaction.
No, I think this is the worst crop of quarterbacks we've ever had in the history of the National Football League. That's because they're all playing on really good teams. You just mentioned the Saints, the Chiefs. I mean, come on, these backup quarterbacks in this league right now. I mean, there's a reason Colin Kaepernick is still looking at getting back in the NFL, because there's some terrible quarterbacking in the National Football League. To me, there's only a handful of guys that are any good. So, no, I don't think it's a year. It just happens to be a year where backups have been on teams that have won games, but I don't think it's because backups are all that good.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree this is the best crop of backups we've ever seen. I think quarterbacks in general are just more prepared now with the way the game is played than ever before. And I think that's part of why you're seeing the success. Offenses are more simplified for guys so they can come in and plug in and be good right away.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. That's our big five. Hope you enjoyed. Half the show is in the bank. We'll take a break. Come on back. Hour number three when we return to Cathedral Catholic High School. It is Tony Gwynn Jr. over there, Chris Ello right here. It is Gwynn and Chris on our High School Friday, the number one sports station in San Diego, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.